بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد، وبارك وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا. اللهم نور قلوبنا بعلمك واستعمل أبداننا لطاعتك ووفقنا لما تحب وترضى من قول والعمل والفعل والنية والهدى، إنك على كل شيء قدير. يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح، يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح، يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح. أما بعد، Alhamdulillah, yesterday we started the section on, after completing the fast of the elders, we started speaking about zakat. And the one purpose of, and the point of this whole chapter was how majority of the mashayikh and ulama, they did not have ever zakat fard upon them. They would always be giving so much, the zakat would never become obligatory upon them. And so we're going to be hearing some stories regarding that. Story of Mawlana Yahya al-Kandalwi, rahimahullah. He says, Sheikh Zakaria says, for as long as I can recall, my father always lived in debt and died in debt. At the time of death, he owed 8,000 rupees, which was incurred neither by overspending, obviously, nor by necessary expensive, but because of his love for publishing and printing the works of our elders, which was only greater than my own love for the elders. Yani, he had... I love the elders immensely. The only one who's beat me to it is my father, Sheikh Zakaria is saying. And he passed away in debt. This is, if I can call it, the sunnah of some of the Sahaba and the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Meaning that he passed away with his sword and shield as a collateral left by a Yahudi in the hands of a Jew, and he borrowed from him. Today, there is a sunnah of debt as well, but for a completely different reason. Can you imagine, like, subhanAllah, people taking on loans to do some dini work? Anything? Unheard of. Everything is this too expensive, I can't do it for any dini work. Or I can't afford it, I don't have money for this sadaqah, I don't have money for this donation. But this was a common practice that people would give sadaqah, people would do dini work after taking a loan. And for them, I'm sure they would frown on the fact that someone would take a loan to fulfill their desire. That I have a desire to make this holiday. I have a desire to, change up and renovate something in my house. I have a desire to purchase a new car, which is now the 100% norm in society. Everyone's got credit card debt. Everyone's got other types of debt, loans to purchase a home, to purchase a second home, purchase one car, a second car. It's like normal life nowadays. But the opposite of that they were taking on debt, the Sahaba, so many instances of thousands and thousands, including Umar radiallahu anhu, of hundreds of thousands of dirahim in debt because of how much they spend on others. Ja'far ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu is also so known for his generosity. Same thing. You'll see that they took on debt to be able to spend on other people. The large-scale dissemination of Beheshti Zevar was in no small part of the blessings of Hakim al-Ummah Mawlana Shaykh Thanwi, the practicality of the book, and my father's commitment to the distribution of Beheshti Zevar. His printing press was churning out Beheshti Zevar almost consistently throughout the year. Every time a volume sold out, he sent an order for 5,000 more copies. Every out-of-stock volume was reprinted in sets of 5,000. Each copy sold for about 7.5 paisa, right? 7.5 cents. Except for that Beheshti Gohar volume. The wholesale price for booksellers was 7 paisa. And my father would say that he who did not buy at least 10 complete sets was not a true bookseller. So each person has to purchase it for 7 rupees and sell it for 7.5 rupees, the whole set. This is why many people pool their funds to purchase 10 complete sets of Beheshti Zevar and Beheshti Gohar, which retailed for 2.5 rupees. They sold each set for 2 or 2.25 rupee, which collected enough profit for them to pay for one whole set of their own. So this is what people are doing, right? They want to get their own set. For those who don't know, Beheshti Zevar is one of the most amazing books, Ajib, miracle, subhanAllah, in the Hanafi fiqh, A to Z, how to be able to, because that's what predominantly people in the subcontinent, they needed, not Hanafi, Shafi, Malik, Hamad, they needed by how to live a life as a Muslim, right? Just give me that. Simple, basic thing. Give me the khulasa, give me a quick gist. When you try to explain to me something about IT, or you try to explain to me, I try to explain to you about something about related to maybe medicine, what do you say about it? Listen, give me the, 1, 2, 3 steps for it. I don't need to get into the details, right? I'm not an IT professional, I'm not a physician, or I'm not a lawyer, I'm not a Mawlana, I'm not whatever, just give me the basic things. So Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullahi alayhi is what he did. It's an amazing book that's so detailed. All the masail for the women, for the men, for the children. How to live your life. How to take care of your home. How to do a business. How to pray your salah. Right? This is really the reality of what is the biggest need of today. That people discuss so many complicated, complex philosophical paradigm shifting discussions and all those type of things. But subhanAllah, when it comes to the basics of the deen, maybe we don't know, not know. We don't know how to give adhan, we don't know how to give wudu, do wudu, etc. So you need to have a manual, a basic manual. So basically, Zawr is that manual. So people who wanted to buy their own set, what they would do, they would purchase, pool their money, purchase 10 sets, sell it at a small profit, and then get enough money to be able to purchase their own set for their own home. Right? So my point is, not everything that you do with money is meant for money. Look at this. If you look at him, oh man, he's Mawlana Yahya is trying to get rich. Look at the craze of trying to get more books and more books. You know, he's trying to sell books so he can become wealthy. But he sold books and only to go in debt. Because the desire was, anything that the profit comes from it, it should be used for printing more books. And this is something I've seen in many of our ulama. Mawlana Yahya, Mawlana Musa Khan Bazi, rahmatullahi alayhi, he has written tens and tens of amazing, outstanding books, the deep and unprecedented books in some of the fields that he's written, including astronomy, including some, you know, extremely deep aspects of tafsir of the Quran and a hadith, and his famous book Al-Barakatul Makkiyah on the 800 Durus Sharif, 800 Salah ala Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, very unique. So many bisharat, so many glad tidings were shared. That is why it's well documented after he passed away and he's buried in Lahore, that for so many days, including his own son, mashallah, he was in Portland, told me this. Everyone knows this. My own Ustad, Maulana Riyaz, when I was studying in Pakistan, told me this as well. He was a student. He said it was such a experienced thing that whoever went to his grave for so many days or for so many weeks would be able to smell an amazing, unprecedented fragrance coming out of his grave, of the soil from his grave. So he used to write amulets. People would come for ta'weez. He used to write an amulet. And my honorable Ustad Mufti Radha al-Haq Dama Darkatum, he says, I've never seen anybody like this. And I've never seen anybody after him either who was like this. Allah had given him ajib ruhani power. And that's why his one ta'weez writing the name of Allah Azza wa Jalla on it would have so much effect. Right? There was no other things. It was just his son right here in this, I think in this masjid told me the story. He said, just a little digression, but it's a beautiful story. He said, my father had set times to help the people from Asr to Maghrib or whatnot. After that, because he's a very senior researcher, very senior teacher of hadith. He teaches the most senior book, most advanced books in Jama Ashrafiya Lahore. So you can't just be all the time just listening to this problem, that problem, which people need to understand, by the way, that you have office hours. You know, as in everyone's situation, everyone who is going through a situation may think that his situation is the most challenging, the worst, the most difficult, unprecedented. But that's what everyone thinks. And it may be, but the other person also, subhanAllah, if you were to listen to everybody's problems all the time, guess what? He will be having the most unprecedented problems. Because what's going to happen to his wife? What's going to happen to his parents? What's going to happen to his kids? What's going to happen to his time to eat, drink, food, right? So you have to have tartib in life. So he had tartib, he had set time. This is the time for me to address the issues of the community, and that's it. So he said, one time a person came in, he was very perturbed. Please, I need to meet Mawlana Musa, rahmatullah alayhi, right? I need to meet Mawlana Musa. So they said, no, the time is over. He said, no, please, I am in a very big predicament, very big predicament. What's the problem? So one of the attendants or one of the sons said, what's the issue? He said, my son, he's lost, he's gone home. No, he's lost, he ran away from home. He ran away from home, a little kid, we don't know where he is. And he's been abducted or something like that. And so he said, we really need help. So he said, Mawlana Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, was very soft-hearted when it comes to especially little kids. When someone came on the issue of the little kid, then he would not feel good to say no. So his son or one of his attendants went to go tell Mawlana Sahib that there's a man here who's very worried. And he's asking for help, please. He said, what is the situation? He said, this is the situation. He said, okay, call him here. So he called him. He told him, this is my situation. My son's gone, disappeared. He said, his son tells me, Mawlana Uzair, he said, my father read Ayatul Kursi 7 times, blew it like this on top, towards the sky. He said, jao, masla lo gaya, right? Go, your issue's been taken care of. Read Ayatul Kursi, blew it up. He said, in half an hour, the brother got a phone call from the other end of Pakistan, like 2 states away, that we found your boy here, right? And he got us connected with you, and you know, what do we do here? Like hundreds and hundreds of kilometers away, 2 states away. His son was there. Half an hour. So there is most definitely something powerful about ruhaniyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you and I that level of spirituality. that we are able to take care of our own affairs and take care of the affairs of others through the barakah of Quran and through the barakah of masnoon du'as. It can happen. Most definitely it will happen. But we have to first get the foundation strong, which is our relationship with Allah and our yaqeen and conviction that Allah is fully in control of everything. And through the power of dua and Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of our needs. Once that comes in, you'll see things will happen. So Mawlana Sahib, when he used to write an amulet for something, for somebody, for some issue, he would charge them a large amount of money. You know, hundreds of thousands of rupees. And then he would say, guaranteed, if it doesn't work, money back guarantee. You take the money. I don't need it. But this money is not being used to go to my pocket. This money is being used to publishing. So we have so many books of his here that have been gifted to us, including Al-Barakatul Makkiyah, tens and tens and tons of copies have been distributed to the students, etc. All for free. His son brought it for us and said, take it. No cost. He said, no, this is for free. So I want us to know that not everyone who is involved with buying and selling is actually doing it to make himself rich. There are many people, subhanAllah, who we because of our own insincerity or because of the fact that we are surrounded by a materialistic world, we automatically begin to think everybody who's dealing with this is also materialistic or insincere. Do you get what I just said? Tell me, man. Just because the world is like that, we do not have a right to point fingers and say, you're also like this. That's a very big accusation. That we need to control our tongue. No one made us judge. No one made us God. No one made us anything. Our job is to do our own thing. If you don't like it, move on. But we should not be falsely accusing anyone of anything, especially without any proof. This is very dangerous. It is dangerous for our deen. Very hated and abhorred by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That a person just, whatever. Just said it. From what? What's the proof? No proof. I just felt like it. You know? This is very dangerous. May Allah protect you and I from getting involved in that. Yes, we know the world is going in a horrible place and the direction, there's no amanadari, there's no this, there's no that, there's no trust. But we cannot say everyone is like this. Baharkaif. Going back to the story of him selling all these sets. After my father's death, I received letters for many years from customers who wrote, your father sent me copies of Behesti Zewar, but I forgot to pay for them. Now here I am sending the payment. Or I did not pay then, but now I have no money. Please, would you forgive me and write off the debt? He would go hand out free books, and he would say that now some of them would say, I got the money now, can I pay for, yeah, Sheikh Zakaria, can I pay for your father? You send me free copy of this book. And number two, that I don't have money, I still don't have money. Can you please forgive the debt? There was a, Allahumma salli, there's people like this. One scholar, he came here from England, he came and gave a talk, he was here for a whole weekend. And we went to drop him off at the airport, going back to England. So, he came all the way from England here. I mean, that's far, man. So, subhanAllah, we decided to give him a hadiah, naturally. I mean, we're not doing ihsan. It's a right that someone comes and spends 3 days, 2 hours a plumber comes, you have to pay him $250, $300. A person, a scholar, comes all the way from another continent and spends 3-4 days over here. Most definitely, his time should be appreciated and paid for. And we should never think we're doing him a favor. So naturally, we gave him an envelope. He said, what is this? He said, just for your time. He said, absolutely not. I'm not going to accept it. And then he said, no, what do you mean? Not going to accept it. Like, you came all the way from England. And he said, no. Brother, he said, I've been giving talks from 1992. And out of the 52 weeks, I think he said maybe 50 weeks or 48 weeks, he's booked up. He said he opens up his schedule after Ramadan, 1 week, and after the entire year is booked. So he tells me, subhanAllah, if I were to be collecting money from then, I would be a multimillionaire. That I get 1,000 here, 2,000 here, 5,000 here, what I would be right now. He said, but this is not what I came to study for. This is not why I came to study the deen. He refused to accept the honorarium at all for all the time he gave. So then, my father, Hafidhullah, gave him, said, okay, he, these were his words. He saw the envelope, maybe had 1,000 or so in it. He said, what is this? He said, hadiah. He said, hadiah aisani hota hai. Isko hadiah kehte hain. Subhanallah. He said, you don't call this a gift. Who gives a $1,000, $2,000 gift? You ever heard like this gift? No, just like that. Gift is usually something worth $50, something worth $25, some a book, a watch, something like that, right? Even for a wedding, what do you go give your friend? A gift card, give something like that, $100, $200. He said, well, this is not a gift, you're paying me. And he said, if I were to do this, by now I'd be a millionaire. So my father said, just take something. He said, I promise you, if you give me something, it will not get spent. It's going to be in my pocket because you said for barakah, okay. Then he pulled out a Ziploc bag, an old Ziploc bag, and it had a bunch of dollar bills, dollar, $1, $20, $5. He said, each one of these represents a foreign country that I visited. Not each one, I mean, not all of the foreign countries he received, but those who insisted, I said, okay, just give me $1 for the sake of barakah. Wherever I'm traveling, it'll be in my waistcoat. I'll travel with it. So he gave him $100. He said, this is okay if you want. It's going to be a big, expensive bill that's not going to get spent. He said, no problem. Just put it in your pocket. So then I went up to the, you know, ¿qué es el logo tear? I took him to the counter, and I said, you travel so much. By now you have miles, points. Probably you have, you know, such a long flight, business class. And he said, no, man, I don't buy all this business. I said, no, I mean, I'm not saying you purchase for it, but you get upgraded. You have all these points. He didn't even have I don't think he even had a frequent flyer, you know? And he says, I don't fly business class. These are his words. I don't fly business class. I fly first class. I said, I fly donkey class. He said, man, my father was a factory worker. I'm a son of a factory worker. Will always be a son of a factory worker. Subhanallah. Right? He said, I am a simple guy. I don't know all this type of stuff. And honestly, I was just so flabbergasted to watch this, to see, wow, this is the type of people still. And what is he running there? Madrasas, boys, girls, boarding school, Islamic school all the way to 12th grade, one for boys, one for girls, multiple humanitarian organizations, proper ones, right? Overseas, in his own locality in Pakistan. Itna sara kuch kar raha yaar. And he said, alhamdulillah, I've established all these institutions from, in the 90s, but he said, my salary and the salary of the teacher who gets hired today is the same. I said, I asked him when I was trying to invite him, I said, who do, before, like 2-3 months before that, is there an agent? Because everything's agents now. Your secretary, he says, man, I have no, this is my direct. I said, you give him your direct number. He said, yeah, who, what do you think? Anything you need? I said, well, I don't have no agent. He said, my wife and I, we sit together, and after the first week of Ramadan, we booked the whole year. You have one side of this, and then you have people, subhanAllah, on the other side today, in this day and age, because we think this is normal. Normal is to, in the out of Ramadan rate, $10,000, $12,000 per speech, for 45-minute speech. First 20 days, be $20,000 per, last 10 days, $25,000. That's a discussion. This is why I tell my students, brother, for Allah's sake, this disgusting type of stuff, where a person, if someone is using that money, and subhanAllah, going towards printing a publishing of books and this, that, that's a different issue. We don't know. That's fine. That's a different thing. That's what, for that one Tawi is 200,000 rupees, but it's going to publishing books. Fine. So if someone is using that, just to amass his own wealth, then naturally it feels very unsettling. But you know what? It doesn't feel unsettling when it becomes a norm. When it becomes a norm, then it doesn't become. So these are discussions that I don't usually have here in the public, but I do have in the classroom a lot. That how should a scholar act and what should be his relationship with the people and so forth. For the general community, we say, bhai, for Allah's sake, honor your ulama. Take care of them. Please take care of them. Give them, hadiyah. Don't think that somehow when you give them a gift that you're doing a favor. This is horrible. And I've had arguments with people. Yeah. Can you find me an imam? Okay. From where? In the middle of God knows where. Some random, never heard of the city, never heard of the place. I would say I never heard of the state, but I have to say I did hear of the state. And say, we need an imam for tarawih. It's like one day left. Acha aage piche kuch? 2026, you're speaking like this? No, brother, just we need an imam. He has to leave. Okay, brother, are you taking care of his expenses? Obviously, he has to pray tarawih anyway. These are what? You have to pray tarawih anyway, so he can just... I said, brother, I don't understand you. People have a job. People have wife and kids. People have work. How are they supposed to just leave everything, get on a flight because you need an imam one last minute before, and they're going to just do what? What are you going to tell the wife and the kids? Bas, khalas. No, they got upset at me. Okay, brother, thank you for your help. I'm like, no, honestly, if you're the one who's in charge, you will never find an imam like this. Or you'll never find someone. This is not the way you deal with people. So I'm going to say the flip side of it. One day I gave a talk in Ramadan, two Ramadans ago in one masjid, on the etiquettes of dealing with elders, especially ulama. There's a whole talk after Taraweeh. After I finished giving a talk, I was walking out. A brother from the admin, he comes to me. As though, subhanAllah, I'm a faqir on the street. He comes, he gives me a crumbled up dollar bill, a $50 bill, $20 bill, puts it in my hand. Right? please yield it. Like this, like he's, you know, you give like rishwa, the way you give riba, you know, blackmailing somebody, or no, sorry, what you giving, what you call it, bribe. You giving to me like that? I looked at him and I said, whoa. Subhan, what is this? Yeah, Anthony, give me, what is this? A $50 bill, even if it's a $100 bill, if it's $200 bill, is this how you give? And I said, brother, you obviously were not sitting in my talk after Aisha. Otherwise, I knew you would have not acted like this. This is why you need to sit, even if you're admin, sit in the talks. Whoever you are, when you're dealing with people. I gave it right back to him. I said, astaghfirullah, alhamdulillah, Allah has not made me in such a despicable, faqiri state that I need something like this from you. Obviously, I didn't take it. And I told him, I said, this is the reason why our masajid are a mess. Because how dare you? Would you ever do that to a professional, a lawyer, a doctor that you hire to come do a presentation? You ever do something like this? Why are we disrespecting our ulama? So this is, it's a two-sided thing. The ulama should not be demanding respect. And they should have, but that's not for you to say. That's for the teacher to say to the student. That's for the sheikh to say to the murid. That is for the students to remind themselves how we should be. Sayyid. But on the other hand, the general community should need to understand that these people who are sacrificing their time, energy, we should think of it as an honor that subhanAllah, our gift gets accepted. And we should not be playing nickel and dime and this type of stuff like that. So islah and tarbiyah has to be made on both sides. It is a shame that right now, this is not the case. That when I go, I'll tell you about my own story. When I travel, so you all should know this, when I travel, or subhanAllah, every weekend you say, oh, What, there's no honorariums. There's no subhanAllah. This is a very unique system that Dar es Salaam has. The Dar es Salaam, alhamdulillah, whichever scholar goes on behalf of Dar es Salaam, alhamdulillah, Dar es Salaam, takes care of that ticket and we send them. There's no 9-page contract, there's no 1-page contract, right? There should be, people should, but I'm just saying, whatever. The most places, I would say 99% of the masjids that host our ulama do not cover that, don't give an honorarium to the guest speaker, whether it's whoever it is. And do not also cover the cost of the ticket. This is 100% yani khidmah. Just like this. You say, you're crazy. Why are you doing that? Why did our elders do this? Why did our elders do this? This is the mizaj of our elders. We've come here to give. We've not come here to take. This is the whole system. No, you got something going on. No, there's nothing, something going on. You probably got some low-key fundraising happening all over this. No, my friend, I'll tell you. There's no fundraising. Okay, the cost of the ticket majority of the time doesn't get covered. Even if there's, at most, if there's some books there are flyers there. And I get shocked also. You have multiple ulama doing a presentation in a masjid for 1 day, for 2 days. You have Jummah khutbah, you have Friday night, you have Asr, youth program, Fajr. There's not one walid rajulun rashid who says, wow, man, you didn't fundraise, you didn't do anything, and I'm part of the board, the masjid didn't pay an honorarium. You know, let me just sponsor a student, or let me pay $1,000 to one of your zakatos. That also doesn't happen. I'm just being very honest with you. That doesn't even happen. No one from the whole crowd of 500, 1,000 people comes says, oh, subhanAllah, let me do that. Why am I clarifying this? Because a lot of people misunderstand that. They think all of these trips, subhanAllah, there's some continuous flow of cash, and there's money-making business happening, and stuff, all those type of things like that. Even if the amount of expenses that are happening here, it should happen like that, honest to God. But Allah Azza wa Jal is kafil, Allah is wakil, Allah is taking care of the needs from His infinite treasures. However, through barakah, and so we say, let us run. And let the cost of the whole thing, this is khidmah lillahi Azza wa Jal. Because you cannot expect the 1,000 communities to come over here. They're not going to happen. We have to go to the people. The method of the Nabi is to go to the people, not expect the people to come to us. Although we'll invite people to come attend our retreat, this, that. But the majority are not going to come here. Our job is to go to the people. So now, where was I saying? The idea is that, this is, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali would say, that there should be a scholar on behalf of the madrasa who goes and gives waaz, who go gives nasiha around. A couple things, listen to this. This is called, book called Tuhfatul Ulama. Have you heard of this? Tuhfatul Ulama, what does it mean? The gift for the ulama. It's a 2-volume book in which all the gems that Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali advice he gave to scholars have been put together. Beautiful book. He has a whole section on fundraising in that book called Tuhfatul Ulama. One of the things he mentions about fundraising is he says that this job ideally should be done by non-ulama. This should be done by business people. This should be done by maybe even wealthy people. So that there's no mixing of anything here. That a person who says, oh, this wealthy person is asking, he's obviously not asking for himself. He's a well-known businessman. Why is he coming to my house asking for money to put in his own pocket? He has, mashallah, his own business. He says that the role of fundraising ideally should be taken care of by non-scholars. Right? You don't want to bring this tough job, or I should say, at times dirty job, at the hands of ulama. That's one of the advices, right, he mentioned. Second thing he says is that every madrasa should have a wa'idh, a one who go gives bayans. But He should be lillah fillah, not take any money. To the extent that if people of the community say, this is an envelope, you're going back to madrasa tomorrow, can you please take this back to your madrasa? This is fun, a donation for the madrasa. He says, you should tell them, no, I didn't come here to collect donations. This is the address of the madrasa. You go ahead and send it by mail yourself. Just to be so clear that we're here only for one sake. We're here to connect you all with Allah Azza wa Jal. Although giving sadaqah and zakah is fard, and it's necessary, it's part of connection of Allah, but I don't want you to mix the two, because usually people start thinking, oh, that's why you came to give the bayan, because you wanted my money. My point is, our ulama have written all these things. So you'll see some of our students or myself or teachers who travel, I'll give you an example. I'm telling you this, you'd never hear this type of thing, that's what I'm telling you. You'll go to a masjid that has 2,000 people for Jummah. Take it. You do all the programs there. 3, 4, 5 programs in one masjid. You forget about a gift, yani cash. And no one will even say thank you. They won't even walk you out to the car. You won't even get invited for lunch. Right? Dude, you won't say, but you need anything? You need to drop off? Nah, nothing. But you come and go. On the other hand, these small little masjids, usually run by our Bangladeshi ulama there in New York, in the boroughs. Small masjid, fits 50, 60 people, 100 people. The Imam Saab, we know, unfortunately himself, is being paid pennies. But I can't, I get so, my heart just melts. It's not one of those small masjids where you go, they'll have to first, Hazrat, you're coming from Asr, we're going to have chai before Asr. After Maghrib, we have to have dinner with us. By Dhuhr time, you're going to have to have lunch with us. Number one. You know, the respect. And number two, always have to give some envelope. Bhai, no, bhai, you need this. Honestly, your masjid needs this, or you need it more than I do. Please, no. You are a guest of Allah Azza wa Jalla. You're the guest of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You've come, you have to accept this. So what does this tell us? Generosity and all of these things has nothing to do with how much money you have. It has to do with your own adab. How much adab you have, how much mahabba you have for ilm, ahlul ilm, for people representing the deen, that's a key thing. It's not about how much money is in the bank. This is a very important lesson I'm sharing, that we need to make ikram of all of our guests, be it scholars, non-scholars, all the time. From ikram of the food, there's no scholar. I felt bad when I, 2005, came back to America, there was a visiting scholar, again from England, different scholar. And I said, can we, because I'm coming from South Africa from 9-8 years abroad. I'm not used to this. So when I have a scholar coming, what happens there? So the scholars in South Africa, in India and Pakistan, kya masla hota hai bhai? There's not an issue of not being invited. There's an issue of too many da'wats. Isko khush rakhna. How are we going to do it? I saw with my own Sheikh Qari Amir al-Hassan rahmatullahi alayhi. People would be saying, please, Hazrat, we heard you're going to Lucknow. Please, my village is on the way to Lucknow. Can you please stop? Like this, 10 people coming and saying, 4-hour journey becoming 8-hour journey. Everyone is saying, we want you to stop. They themselves are frail, 70 pounds. 70 pounds. I'm serious. What is he going to eat? But just to keep the people happy, TK. He said, gather all the people. The car would stop. I was with him in the car. The car would stop. 30, 40, sometimes 60, sometimes 100 people gather around. What can he drink? Maybe one sip of chai and give it to the host. One sip. One sip of zamzam, one sip of water, by Lelo, and a few words. But that's all they wanted. Right? And sit in the car and move on. Look at the mahabba for the scholar, and look at how the scholar says, hey, brother, what are you talking about? I'm busy. I don't have time for this. No, let's accommodate the people. Because they're doing it out of love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This ajib adab that used to happen. So when we had a visiting scholar, I told people, brother, who's going to host the scholar? Kahan soenge? Kahan khaenge? Where are they going to sleep? Where are they going to eat? People are looking at me and say, what do you mean? Oh, hotel hai bhai. Go book in my hotel and restaurant. So, bhai, I was shocked. We ate Subway because we're in downtown. We had no food. We go get a tuna sandwich. This is 2005. I'm like, this is America? I mean, this is, you know, this is how ulama are. We are going eating out in rent because there was no Hafsa and there's no HMS and there's no halal. I mean, I don't think there was anything of that stuff in 2005. And now you're going sleeping in a hotel. I feel so awkward. I went and slept there as to do khidmah. I'll stay with you in the hotel. I feel so bad. How do I leave you in a hotel? Yani, my point is to have a scholar in our home, for him to stay in our home, is the concept that this is barakah in my house. That subhanAllah, let me come and have him eat in my plates at my home. Let my wife cook and I cook and whatever. And subhanAllah, we serve him. The barakah has to come. Why? Why have we lost that? Now, because we are treating ulama like that, then the ulama also say, khalas, bhai, book me a, some of them will say, book me a 5-star. Brother, if you invite me to your house also, I don't want. You can send me a gift card. But I'm not coming. And it's a full ecosystem is changing here, is what I'm trying to say. Ecosystem is changing here. We have to show our love and respect to the ulama, and then our children also will want to become like this. So when I was visiting India, one Hafiz Sahab, Hafizahullah Ta'ala, in Bombay, he invited me. He said, come to my home. I said, no, Azad, please, I don't want to give you taklif. I'm going to go staying somewhere. I'll stay. No, you have to come to my home. So we went three flights of stairs all the way up. Small, thin, narrow, steep stairs. Chalte jaare, chal, go, all the way to the top. He's carrying my suitcase, this, that. I go there, I sit. It's a small two-bedroom apartment. There's a charpai there, like a cot. I'm sitting there. He's like, you have to, with this chai now, you have to come back for lunch over here. I said, I have a one-day transit stay. There's no time. And I don't want to inconvenience the host. It's such a small home. They have women, the wife, daughter, all the parda, hijab has to happen. I don't want to become a source of inconvenience. So he's telling me this, you know where you're sitting? This bed, Azad Mufti Taqi Uthmani, Mufti Saeed Palanpuri, Mawlana Sajjad Nu'mani, you know, Mawlana Zulfiqar Rahmatullah Alayh, he started going on this. My own ustads, Qari Ayyub Sahab, Mawlana Shabir Sahab, Mawlana Suleiman Mullah, all the ustads from South Africa. He said, not only have they sat and slept on this bed, but their food also comes from behind the parda. Right? My wife cooks, my daughters cooks, and they eat here, right here in the same spot. Including the final days before Mufti Saeed Palanpuri Rahmatullahi Alayhi passed away. He was at his home. Every time he'd fly out of Bombay to America or anywhere else international, he would stay at his home. What can I say? I'm like, okay, that's it. Obviously, I'm staying here, right here. You got me. I come back, and subhanAllah, she prepares lunch. Big lavish lunch. We ate. Allahumma Akbar. Okay, I ate. After that, he gives me a chair. I sit on this chair behind the parda, behind the curtain. Okay, now what do I do next? You have to give a bayan. I said, what? He said, yes, this is the sunnah of my home. Every senior scholar, I just shared with you five names. He shared with me like names upon names upon names of akabir who came to his home. He said, all of them eat my wife's and daughter's food. They stay on this bed and then they give advice. You know, I mean, I was like just pigal chuka. I was like, wow, what am I? I'm sitting on a chair with these elders sat, and now I'm supposed to follow their act. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. Allahu Akbar. My point might be like, why is this happening? How much barakah has he encapsulated in his home? May Allah give you all of us this genuine mahabbah and love for our ulama, our mashayikh. And don't sit there and say, but he's like this, she's like, no, that's not your problem. Allah will reward you based on your love. Imagine someone's a fraudulent type of character, fake guy. He put on a big turban, fake beard, fake thobe. Yeah? Are you responsible for that? Are you responsible? You're not responsible. You fed him and you clothed him, or you gave him an itr and you gave him a hadiyah and you kept him in your home. For what? Because you said, ya Allah, ya aapka banda hai, ya aapka wali hai. He's your friend. And I love him because I love you. That's what Allah wants to hear from you. What happened to him is not your problem. Just worry about yourself. Sometimes shaitan comes and says, no, but I got to do the research. No, you don't need to do research. If someone looks like to you a representative of Allah, a representative of the Prophet ﷺ, then honor him. And get their dua. And the amount of khair that will come into our home is huge. So all of us who have homes, we like to buy newer homes, mashallah, people want to move from an apartment to a single family home, from a single family home to patani, what else were you going to call these things, right? As we move, how about we make a section in our home? Make niyyah that this is a section for me to make ikram of mashayikh, ikram for ulama, ikram for guests. We have so many bedrooms, many of us in the community who are ever listening across the country, so many bedrooms, so many bathrooms, so many, you know, multi-floors. How many of us have said, okay, subhanAllah, this section, I'm going to have a separate in and out bath, you know, what you call a walk in, walk out, and this is for the guest of Allah. This is for the guest of the masjid. I really, you all are hearing me, whoever you are. I want you to come up to me to say, Mufti Sahab, that's it. I have been niyyah. And subhanAllah, if there's any guest that comes, no guest of the masjid or madrasa should ever stay in a hotel. Unless, of course, he says, I need seclusion because I'm doing tahqiq. Because if you have six kids at home running around upside down, inside out, look here, then how is he going to do his tahajjud? How is he going to sleep? How is he going to do his mutala? No problem. But at least from our end, it should be that if anyone comes to Darussalam, or for that matter, inshallah, other masjids get inspired, comes to our masjid, then first thing we say, your meals are going to be in the homes. We're going to treat you the way we treat, subhanAllah, our who? Damad. Our son-in-law, our father. Imagine how they treat, how you treat your, you know, future father-in-law, future mother-in-law. You tell them, go to a restaurant? how we should treat the ulama, subhanAllah, say, no, there's not. If you say you want to eat outside, that's sure. We're ready to. And this is the part of the ikram I learned from Maulana Tariq Jameel Sahab. These are all the kabir stories I'm telling you. It's all part of our dars. Because we learn deen and adab from our elders. That's how you learn. You don't learn from Wikipedia, right? You learn it from elders. We went to go visit Maulana Tariq Jameel Sahab in 2000. Yeah, 2000. My father and I, my uncle, Hafidhahullah, Rahimahullah, and yeah, three of us, I think so. So we went to go visit him in his gown in Tulamba. And it was Ramadan. We went to go visit him in his village. And now we had to go back to Raivind, which was like 4 hours away. We need to go back. We were in Jamaat. We need to go visit him. My father and my uncle were speaking to him about our enrollment in Madrasatul Hasanain, the Madrasa in Faisalabad. It's 2000. So then, when it came time to leave, he said, you don't want to stay till iftar? We said, no, it's getting late. We really need to head back all the way to Raivind. Four and a half hour drive. So I remember Molana took a few hundred rupees and gave it to the driver. And he said, bhai, raaste mein kahin rukkar iftar kara de. Right? On the way, stop and give them iftar. Get dinner. This is what Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullahi writes. That Ajib, if the guests come to your home, but you have no food to feed them. That doesn't exist nowadays, but I'm just saying. You don't have food. Or it's not an appropriate time. Or it's fasting. Or you're running out of the house. Still do not miss out on their ikram. Give them hadiyah to say, please, this is dinner on me. So sometimes you'll have someone coming to town. Someone calls you and says, bhai, I'm in Chicago. Are you in town? Nay, bhai, I'm in Texas. Oh, subhanAllah. But you came to visit my city and I'm not there. All right. What do you kids like to eat? Pucho and say, what do you kids like to eat? Like Chinese? You like to eat burgers? You like to eat desi food? What do you like to eat? What? Just ask. So you'll make mashallah. No, my kids want to eat burgers. Okay, where are you all staying? We're staying in Lombard. Inshallah, that's it. You call Bumper, you call Chai Tea or whatever he calls it. You say, listen, I'm going to have so-and-so guests coming. The tab is on me. Bas. You tell them, bye, go. Whenever you're done with your shopping around, this, that, your dinner is going to be waiting for you at the XYZ restaurant. Simple as that. Don't deprive yourself of it. $50, $40. Imagine the dua you're going to get of the guest. And this is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. Man kana yu'min billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim dayfahu. If you believe in Allah in the day of judgment, then honor your guest. Look at the words. If you believe in Allah in the day of judgment, honor your guest. You don't say, I'm not there. You don't have to be there, man. Everything runs virtually today. Right? Everything runs virtually. So this idea of giving a gift to someone who's yani, when you cannot host him, paying for it, this is also part of our thing. So I'm hoping I'm inspiring people. Whoever's listening at home, the women, you make niyyah, you tell your husbands that, you know what, subhanAllah, please go tell the masjid, whenever this guest, I want to cook one dish. Taki I get the duas. I get the dua. I want my children come right. Guess what? Get it through these ulama will make dua. They always do. And that's what I did in that Hafiz Sahab's house in Bombay. How much my heart poured out making dua for such people. Okay, how much they, such small space, but how much with muhabba and love, in ikhlas, they cook this food. And that's the thing. If you want ulama to speak well, you have to give them home-cooked food that is filled with barakah, as opposed to outside food. This is the reality. Because the ruhaniya is in the home-cooked food. The ruhaniya is not in the bazaar food, in the food of the marketplace. This is not for ulama, it's for all of us. If we want barakah in our home, then focus on eating that which is cooked at home. You have one sister, she's fasting, she's doing dhikr, and she's cooking. What's going to happen to that food compared to a non-Muslim person who is not in the state of janaba and is cooking? Completely, and the music is playing on top. Shatana baynahuma, huge difference. So I hope we make this niyyah, that inshallah, we will make space in our home for guests. Say inshallah. And we'll make niyyah that instead of feeding people who have too much food in the fridge, we will feed the poor, the indigent all over the world, but we will make ikram of the guest of the madrasa in the masjid. Whose masjid is this? This is yours. Whose madrasa is this? This is yours. So any alim, scholar, visiting person of the masjid, this is your guest. This is all one town. This is all our guest. So we should take it personally to say, by Monday, I know one person in this community, Hafidhullah, he invited me for iftar today with a bunch of other people. May Allah reward him, may Allah bless him. His downstairs doing khidmah. But he's that one person, the only person I know who fights, literally. He says, you have to, any scholar comes, must come eat my home. And he must try to stay in my home. May Allah reward him. May Allah remove difficulties from his life. Say ameen. May Allah increase him in khair and barakah. May Allah Azza wa Jal open up the doors of afiyah for him, for his children, for his spouse. And may Allah Azza wa Jal remove any and all difficulties from him. But this is a role model. That a person vies with one another to say, no, a breakfast, I want lunch. Lunch, I want dinner. Please accept I want a scholar to come visit my home. May Allah allow you and I to love the ulama. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to benefit from the ulama. May Allah allow us to be generous. May Allah allow us to be open-hearted. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be extremely gracious towards our guests. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to benefit from this love. Allahumma ameen. We will inshallah continue this section tomorrow if Allah wills. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallah bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Let us inshallah head downstairs for iftar, and we're going to begin the dua.